show, Carlos. We really appreciate you. We love what you said. It's totally true. You've got the floor. I could ask 100 questions of why you went and spoke, what happened since, what's happening with the exodus from California, where you see this going. But just, you've got the floor, my friend. Let us have it.
Alex, thanks for having me. Thanks for what you're doing. You know, you're really getting a lot of good word out there. And you're saying things that are resonating with a lot of people, where maybe a year ago people would have thought folks like us are crazy. Now they're listening. And they're tuning into our platforms because we're saying exactly what they're thinking. And so obviously this started a couple weeks ago, and I never had any plans to speak or to be so vocal about the things that I was thinking. You know, I'd been vocal in small circles, you know, within my group of friends, within my small scope of influence, but never would I have dreamed that this was going to go this viral and this big. But that day, that night, I sort of got thrown in by a friend of mine who's been a great organizer. Alyssa McEwen has been an awesome organizer here in our community, and she threw me to the front of the line at the board supervisors meeting, and I figured I had 2 minutes to give them everything that I had and to put as much information as I could possibly put in front of them, you know, and then put the ball in their court, because they've absolutely dropped the ball, you know. And what happens here, like most counties across the country, is that they are beholden to the state governments for money. You know, we have a tyrant of a governor here in California, which you well know, Gavin Newsom, who's holding a lot of money over their heads. And if they don't comply, if they don't obey what his tyrannical dictatorship is mandating, then the counties aren't getting that money. But we're to the point now where we want the county supervisors to understand that the money doesn't come from the government. It comes from us as citizens. It comes from business owners. It comes from people being able to do commerce here locally and, you know, outside of the area. And that's where we're at. So you guys saw what I said. I think the only incorrect thing I said was that there's 1 million people like me. I think there's more like probably 30 million people like me who would fight. And
well, exactly. Listen, I think there's probably 30 million ready to fight now, and as soon as we did that, we'd have 100 million behind us. I mean, victory's there as long as they don't distract us off if things get physical into some side fight. But I don't see that happening. I just see them taking our kindness as weakness. Where do you think this is all going gut level? You seem to have your head screwed on.
I'll tell you what, Alex. Nobody wants war. You know, especially those of us who have been there don't want to repeat that. But I don't see any way out. The one thing I know about the socialist programs that they want to instill, they want to turn this into a socialist communist country. Let's make no mistake about it. And you can't vote your way out of socialism. And this is what they wanted to feed down our throats forever, right? Well, if you don't like what's going on, you wait 2 or 4 years and then you vote that person out, you know, and you get newly elected officials that hopefully, you know, resonate with what you want them to do. But that's not the way that socialism works. Once it takes root into any country, and I know this because my parents came from Peru and my family came from Chile, and they came from these countries that were ravaged by socialism. And had they been able to vote their way out, maybe they would have stayed and changed their country. But the only way that you get out of a socialist state or a communist state is you either have to leave it or you have to fight. And there's nowhere else for us to go. My dad said to me a couple days ago, he said, son, we came here because it's the last pillar of freedom. Where are we going to go from here? We have no other country that we can pack up our stuff and our families and move to start a new life. And this is it. My gut feeling, Alex, is that we're at that boiling point where there's a lot of angry people like myself that have been criminalized for doing the most fundamental thing, which is to open our businesses and earn a living for our families. And the only way that I see out of this is to fight if they fail to listen to our words, because they have completely failed to listen to our words at this point. You know, the mandates just get more strict and more regulations come down the pipeline. And it's almost like they feed you a little bit of a carrot, right? Every couple of weeks, the governor gets on, he says, hey, we're getting closer to opening again. And then boom, they take it right back from you. And if you ask me personally, I think it's an experiment. It's a game.
Oh, they admit it's a giant experiment. And all they do is tighten into their cult. Mm-hmm. And Bill Gates admits it's a post-industrial world. It's total economic control. So they can dictate to us, as you said, in Latin America, anywhere, rich, powerful countries till they go communist or socialist, because they do it on purpose to make people poor, to dictate to them.
Absolutely. This has nothing to do with equitable wealth. It has nothing to do with creating a sense of equality, you know, for everybody as socialism sells itself. And this, you nailed it on the head, Alex. You know, they're not even trying to hide or disguise this anymore. You know, even Castro himself in Cuba tried to disguise what he was selling from a centrist point of view, right? He told people that this was going to be good for everybody, and he made promises, you know.
Well, he was a secret communist. You know your history. He was a secret communist.
Yeah. 100%. And these guys now, they're not even secret anymore. You know, here we are in the United States of America in 2020, and it's no secret what they want to do, where they used words like progressive and liberal before. Now they're just admitting that they're straight socialists, and we all know that communism is the next step to
Carlos Zapata, you're exploding. You're on fire. When we come back, what do you want to cover next? And I got a lot of questions, but what do you want to get to next?
You know what, Alex? Let's just talk about where our country's going and how we got here. I think we need to understand how we got here in order to understand where we're going.
Exactly. Know how we got here to know where we are, know where we're going to go, and make that decision. Everybody needs to know. No more procrastination now, folks. We're in the jaws of the fight.
Hey, Alex, sorry. So I've been a student of history my whole life. You know, I was a history major in college, which doesn't really mean anything, but I've read a lot and I've experienced a lot, you know, and I'll tell you that I've always felt like there was an attack on the American male, an attack on the alpha male, you know, and from the time that we were kids, we were told that you can't fight, you can't cuss, you can't talk aggressively, you can't make fast decisions, you can't win, you know, and we're to the point now where you got to think about this. You know, we've gotten to the point in America and the world where we actually play sports. We don't allow a team to win. Think about how ludicrous that is. And if you don't think that that eats away at the soul of a man or a soul of a human, then you're absolutely blind, you know, because you're doing nobody any favors. You're not doing any of a participation trophy. And this is a community and society that we live in now. And you got to ask yourself, why are they doing this? Are they really doing it because they want that loser kid to feel better about himself, or that person that maybe makes a bad decision and not to feel the consequences of it? No, they do this because they know that if they eat away at our drive to win, they can start to inject and interject these socialist policies and these communist policies. They know that eventually they're going to try to make us all the same, where there's no winners, no losers. And we've seen this coming, right? I mean, I have four children, and I think that's maybe why I have a voice in the community, because I'm every dad, I'm every American, you know, I have a business, I have a family, and I see this with my kids, you know, where our kids are being raised now, to feel guilty if they're better than the next kid. They're made to feel like they need to regress or be less in order to be like everybody else, you know, and if you have half a brain between your ears, you know that leads to absolute, loss of culture, loss of
they don't want to put pressure
economy,
on
loss of everything. Go ahead.
They don't want to put pressure on kids to make them excel. And I remember I was not a good soccer player when I was like 6 years old. They put me in soccer. I remember being at the pizza place at the end of the year, and they were giving out the participation trophies, and nobody told me what they were, but I knew I wasn't good at it, so it made me want to quit. Because I wasn't mad at the kids that got the big trophy. I knew I didn't deserve it. And even as a mammal, as a male, as a human, I knew there was something wrong with that, that I didn't deserve that. So you're talking about the other side of it. The kids that excel, they're saying you excelling doesn't matter. And then that takes the drive out of people, which makes them soulless.
100%, you know, 1,000%. And people like you, people like me, people like the kids that were raised and understand this, they understand that there is a loser and there's a winner. And here's the deal. You know, it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to fail, right? But we can't live in a society where we don't allow people to fail, because it's in all the failures that I've found my success, that I found my way around towards success, right? So you can't make a good decision unless you know what a bad decision feels like, smells like, you know? And I've made plenty of those, you know, which is why I am where I am. But, you know, Alex, I think we're in the most existential crisis that we've ever been in our lives. You know, in my 41 years on this earth, I never would have thought that we'd be fighting for our very identity. And I know you've talked about this before, but when they're knocking down statues of our history, that's knocking down a statue of who we are today, you know, of who I am as a person. Now, am I a racist? No. Have I ever been a racist? No. Will I ever be a racist? No. But, you know, to say that I'm a bad person because I think that we should have Confederate statues in the South does not make me a bad person. It makes me a student of history, a person that understands that if we erase how we got here, we erase our identity, and that's what they want. At the end of the day, they want a bunch of robots that are simply going to do what they say. And we're seeing that. We're seeing the result. Listen, they are, I hate to admit it, but they're winning. You know, they've gotten us to a point where I go to our local I live in a town of 1,200 people, and I go to the grocery store and I see people who are otherwise pretty tough country living people wearing masks all of a sudden, where, you know, 3 months ago they weren't. But they've been talked into this. They've been felt guilty. And when I ask them, why are you wearing this mask? They say, well, I just don't want the confrontation. You know, I just get anxiety from thinking that somebody's going to approach me and tell me to put a mask on. I said, well, you know, that's the problem. The problem is that going back to what I said earlier, we've been taught that confrontation's bad. We've been taught that fighting's bad. We've been taught that stand up for yourself is bad. You know, and I don't know. I've been a fighter my whole life. I love to fight, so I have no problem walking by somebody.
And once they get you, as you know, Mr. Zapata, to give up on the one thing, now it's going to be contact tracing. California has announced when you go to any grocery store or business, they're going to write out who you are, put it in a database, and then comes the contact tracing, then comes the forced inoculation. They admit. It's not like we're speculating. This is coming very soon. You talk about war. It's one thing to shut down
business. It's no longer speculation at all.
Keep going, sorry.
No, it's no longer speculation at all. The day's coming where they're going to tell me that I cannot have a business license unless I have a vaccine for this COVID, fake COVID virus. I'm telling you, it's coming.
No, I agree. So when you say, lie in the sand, I'm ready to go to war, I mean, it's not like we're starting a fight. They're coming with medical tyranny. Have you seen Australia where they're beating up women and arresting women that organize demonstrations?
Yes. And that's coming soon. So things that we're seeing now, even in our own cities, right? Look at Portland, look at Seattle. We're seeing things that 5 years ago we were watching on the news in third world countries and thanking God that we were Americans that would never happen here. And here we are now having this conversation, Alex, where, you know, 6 hours away, people are killing people because of who they're voting for, you know, because the guy's a Trump supporter. He's getting
killed
in the
street. Thought it could never happen. That's key. Get into that. We have just been sleeping on our laurels, living on our laurels, and people need to get, no, the assault's now. This isn't another probe. It's not a joke. This is the attack.
Yeah, we are here. They've crossed the line of departure. I've been called a domestic terrorist since my speech. I've been called an insider. I've been called a lot of things by some people. But let me tell you that I've gotten literally hundreds of thousands of text messages, emails, Facebook messages, Instagram messages, Twitter, okay, of people that say, just let us know when and we will be there. If I put up the balloon right now, I said, hey, I need a million people here with guns. They will show up.
And that's leadership, brother. Exactly. And that's what scares the system. I think they jumped the gun. They were planning this later, but Trump made them launch a plan that they had planned maybe a decade from now.
Yeah, and they've underestimated guys like me and guys like you. They've underestimated the fact that, you know what, us veterans, we look forward to peaceful lives and raising our families in the way that we see fit. But if we have to go to war, we have to remember that the oath that we swore, the oath when I raised my right hand as a younger man to uphold and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that did not end with my contract. That did not, the day that I left active duty, that contract between me and the Constitution, between me and my country, stay very much alive. And until the day that I die, until the day that I take my last breath, you know, I have to uphold that oath, you know, of fighting.
Right. Carlos Zapata, stay there. Stay there. You're on fire. We're going to come back and you're going to continue on with what's coming next.
You know, things are set in place through our Constitution, you know, but the problem is, Alex, is the mechanism of the Constitution has been completely disregarded at this point. You know, if we were still operating under constitutional law and constitutional ideals, we wouldn't be having this conversation because those mechanisms of how we deal with this would be there. And the biggest mechanism that we have that was granted upon us is obviously our Second Amendment. We can talk till we're blue in the face, but if our message does not have teeth behind it, if we don't have that bottom line, but we're actually willing to go into a kinetic type of warfare for our ideas, then our message means absolutely nothing. And that's what's happened. You know, that they've taken advantage of our kindness, that they've mistaken our kindness for weakness because they thought that we would never actually go into that kinetic fight. And we will. And we have to because, listen, I've done well for myself, but I can't afford to lose any more money. I can't afford to have a closed business that I've put $500,000 of my own money into in the last year, you know, and there's other businesses that aren't going to be okay. Other businesses that won't open again. So you've taken away our most fundamental right, which is what? The pursuit of happiness, right? The pursuit of happiness was written for a reason because somebody knew that one day we would be able to open our business, but they also knew that someday somebody was going to be able to take that away from us. And the foresight that our forefathers had is absolutely divine. If we can't see that, if we can't see it, these were the most intelligent men that ever lived that wrote a constitution, then we're just simply not American and we hate our culture. We hate our country. But that's why we're here. And these piranhas, I call them, these liberal piranhas, are so good at feeding off of the vulnerable, right? So let's talk about what's happened in Central America. What happened there? They preyed on the least of these, right? They preyed on the native population that was uneducated, and they turned them against the white man, against the European man, right? And they told them that it was their fault that they were where they were. It was their fault that they weren't educated. It was their fault they didn't have good schools or housing or whatever, you know? And they're doing the exact same here, but let's call it the black population, okay? They've taken a black population, a fatherless society, and turned them against everybody else. And this is what we're seeing BLM and Antifa gaining ground in this country. Without that population, they would have nothing because the rest of us aren't going to fall for that. Now, listen, this is not a knock on the black community. In fact, I have
You're talking about liberation theology, the CIA, the foundations. It's on record. They take schisms and manipulate them for division.
100%. And there are some great black leaders coming out of this. And I think that the black community is awakening now and seeing that they've been taken advantage of. They're being raped and they absolutely, are
look at Kanye West. Look at Kanye West.
100%. Look at folks like David Harris Jr. That's a good friend of mine, you know, people who are intelligent coming out and saying, look, we need to address a problem. And if it makes me a racist to address a serious problem because I want you to fix it, then label me what you will. But I'll say that, look, I'm trying to fix a problem. Unless we identify what the issue is, we can't fix it, right?
So what is the heart of the matter? It's the mega corporations playing us against each other using psychological warfare, cheating. Then they need to be brought to justice.
It's absolute. This whole thing's a psychological operation, you know. I had an opportunity to work I was in the Marine Corps, but I worked with the Army PSYOP guys when I was in Iraq, and I'm seeing exactly the playbook that they would use. You know, if I was in a controlled population, I would use the playbook that's been set out for these guys already. All you have to do is read the book and you know where we're going. This does not end well for us. Not today, not tomorrow, not 10 years from now. It never ends well for us.
Only way is to realize the game and not play it.
Oh, you have to. And going back to what I said earlier, I am absolutely appalled and I'm disgusted. I'm going to throw up every time I see a friend of mine or somebody that I respected before play the game simply because, I can't afford not to. I have to keep my job. You know, I have to comply. Well, I'm trying to save my words, you know, because I don't want to offend any viewers, Alex.
It's excessive approximation. Yeah. We're being walked into total slavery. Complying doesn't get you ahead now. It means the takeover like Venezuela.
Absolutely. And people say, it's just a mask, right? Oh, yeah, it's just a mask. Well, you're going to tell me you can't put on a mask, but you can go fight for this country? No, it's what that mask signifies. That mask signifies absolute control. It signifies silencing myself, silencing my children. It signifies
going under groupthink
of my identity.
What do you make of Pelosi?
2,300 years ago, the Muslims knew.
Sorry, go ahead.
2,300 years ago, the Muslims knew that if they covered somebody's face, it would take their identity. It would take their self-worth. And if you take away our self-worth, you eat away at the very soul of what makes us great. And that's what's happening.
Let's talk about that in a moment because I interrupted you. But what do you make of all the Democrats caught eating at restaurants they own, going to salons, not wearing masks? I mean, they know it's a fraud. So they'll arrest if it's not their business. But if it's their pet business, then they can do it.
You know, I don't think much of it. It doesn't surprise me one bit. You know, I was not even shocked at all from when I saw that Nancy Pelosi video. We know this about them. This is not a surprise. They're not hiding it. They're elitists. They hate the middle class. They want to eradicate the middle class, you know, because they can't control the middle class. They can control the lower classes with money. They can't control people like me, you know. And
they want domesticated people in a world of money. The middle class is the free, undomesticated person.
They want to kill the pioneer spirit. Remember why we're out here. I live out west. You know, the West was won by pioneers who were willing to fight for what they wanted, you know, with no promise of victory. You know, they fought with no promise of victory, knowing that there might be something else over the horizon, you know, that might benefit their families. So that pioneer spirit out here, out West, I live in rural America, that's being trampled on, you know, but it's the very people that are being trampled on that are going to fight. People like me will fight. And like I said before, I think you said, 30, 40, let's call it 50 million people that would fight with us right now.
Carlos, let me ask you this question. What do you think the globalists are thinking? I think they're just testing and probing to see what we'll put up with. And the fact that they, the leadership, never get in trouble is why they think that they are invincible. Your thoughts on that and just on the election and on the destabilization and everything else that's happening?
I think they push a little bit further every time. Every time something like this happens, they're going to push a little bit further to see how how gullible we are. And we prove over and over again to be very gullible. We prove that we'll allow them to push the line more and more. And things that if you would have asked us a year ago, hey, at what point would you fight against a tyrannical government? You know, people say, oh, well, if they made me shut down my business, I might fight. Well, here we are. They shut down our businesses. If they made me wear a mask, I might fight. Well, here we are. We're wearing a mask. And we're not fighting. So we're telling them, you know, and silence is consent. And I'm not silent. You're not silent. People like us aren't silent, but there's very many people that are. And as long as we're consenting and they see that consent, they're going to continue to move the line. And people like us will be labeled the terrorists. We're going to be labeled the fringe, right? You know, Alex, like I said, this doesn't end well for us unless we change course, and we change course now. And right now we have the most important election in the history of our country coming up, where my mother was sitting here in my living room last week, and she said, son, this is no longer about Joe Biden versus Donald Trump. This is literally, in a very real way, a choice between liberty and freedom and tyranny. And that's it. And if we choose tyranny this time around, we will never, ever, ever be able to go back to where we want to be.
And you've been through this. You saw this in Peru. Your family did. I mean, the globe must admit this is a total takeover. Describe to people with your historical understanding what it will look like if they win, what the future is.
If they win, it's going to be a free-for-all, Alex. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. If Joe Biden wins in November, they're going to absolutely push their agenda in a way that is so fast and so uncontrollable that we will not have a choice. We won't be able to stop it unless we take to the streets. And there's going to be bloodshed in the streets because at that point, they know they've won. And at that point, they're going to be so rooted for the next 4 to 8 years that we will never be able to catch up again. And like I said before, we won't be able to vote ourselves out of this time around. We barely voted our way out of it, you know, from the Obama years. And we won't be able to do it this time around. And their infrastructure is there. They have their plan in place. And
that's right. Weaponized. Barely got a reprieve. Trump held on under total coup d'etat. And now they know if they get in, they're going to go for we're going to, quote, wipe his supporters out, wipe out Americans, wipe out the middle class. I mean, they're on TV saying they're going to, quote, level us, wipe us out. Your family experienced that. What does the wipe out look like?
They're telling us what it's going to look like. It's going to be like you losing all your wealth. It's going to be like guys like me going to the bank one day and not having any money in the account because my accounts are frozen and I'll be able to access them. You know, it's going to look like them telling me that I can't run my business because I don't have a vaccine or my kids aren't vaccinated. It's going to look like my kids not being able to get an education.
That's the cover for their communism. Is going to be the Microsoft Bill Gates run contact tracing. That's their cover.
So we know the playbook, right? They create an obstacle, they create a problem, okay? Then they wait for a reaction, and then they create a solution, right? But the solution is not a real solution. The solution is just furthering their own agenda by whatever action they take. And in this case, it's going to be, the inoculation, the contact tracing. It's going to be a very globalist control over us. And we have nowhere to go from here, Alex. I can't pack up. I said this earlier. I can't pack up my family, sell my things, and go to another country to start over again.
And there's nowhere to run. I love America, but I've said if there was some free country, the folks that got it, I would have left because
We would have gone. We would have gone because I love my freedom more than I love my country, and I love my country because of my freedom.
Beautifully said. So, you know, wow, sounds like your folks are great people. Talk about your parents.
They are. You know, okay, my parents. You know. I say this all the time that my parents, we came from very humble beginnings, okay? My parents' families have done very well in Peru, in Latin America. In fact, I'll tell you something that I haven't said on any show before is that my grandfather was an Allende, related to Salvador Allende, who was the communist leader of Chile, and we know what happened to him, you know, in that coup d'etat. And so that is my family history. We come from the Allende family. We come from a socialist, communist family. father was a leader of the Socialist Party in Peru. You know, he'd fled Chile and he became the leader of the Socialist Party in Peru. And so I've seen how this country, how it crushed, not only the government, but the people and the culture of that country. It's a beautiful country. So I know this. My family was part of this history, you know. So let me tell you that this does not end well for free, crushed people. Okay. So here I am now, a proud American. I'm an American. If you ask me, I'm not a Peruvian American, I'm not a Latin American. I am a red
American. Sure, but I can tell. That's why I asked about your folks. I can tell you know what you're talking about, not just from the military being sure. American, but you had some expert understanding.
Sure. Yeah, and my parents are great people. Listen, they lost absolutely everything. You know, whatever their families had amassed in wealth was completely lost. They came to this country. My father's a preacher. He's a pastor of a church.
No, I get it. There's nothing like experience to make you be intelligent and informed.
Absolutely. Nothing else, you know. So let me talk about this for 1 second, Alex, if you don't mind me jumping around a little bit. What you just said about experience is something that you can't replicate. You have to understand things based on experience, right? What have we done, you know, to our society over the last 30 years? I was raised in a community that told you that if you don't go to college, you're going to end up being a plumber. Okay. Well, a plumber makes $150 an hour. And if they own their own business, they make more, right? So.
And people with a college degree on average are bagging groceries. Sorry.
100%. So I'm going somewhere with this, right? In that we were all funneled into this pipeline of indoctrination. You were told that you have to go to college because if you don't go to college, you're going to be a dummy. You're going to go work in the trades. Well, guess what? Some of the smartest people I know never went to college. Some of the smartest, most intelligent, capable people I know work in the trades. Okay. But why did they want us all to go to college? Because this conditioning had to have a vessel, and that vessel was academia, right? That vessel was universities and colleges around the country where they could funnel us all in there and get brainwashed essentially to where we are now.
And create a political army.
You know, and create a political army and allies because they knew that, that this day would come where they would need every last person, you know.
And they need to give them educations that disenfranchise them so they're desperate and scared and will follow the cult leaders who've already abused them under Stockholm Syndrome to then direct them against the rest of the country.
100%. You know, it's all conditioning, and I won't even go into all the studies that have been done. We could go into that another time, but, you know, studies of how easily conditioned people are, you know. And I've
Milgram,
seen that.
Milgram, Stanford,
seen
that over you name it.
Yep.
Well, listen, so, you need to join us again. When do you want to come back on with the show?
I would love to. You tell me, Alex, I love your show. I love what you're doing. And listen, I never wanted this platform, but now that I have a platform, people are hearing this message. I think it's important. And I feel it's my duty now as part of that oath that we talked about earlier to get this message out because we have to save our country.
Yeah. Why don't you just pick a day you want to host an hour? That way I'm not interrupting. You can really flow with it. Daria, the producer, will talk to you. You pick an hour. You want to come on? No, seriously. That's what we do. We want to get regular folks who aren't the regular folks, the real people on the show in the game, brother.
I appreciate that. I have a lot to say, and I would love to come back and do that with you.
And you ought to sometime when you're after you've done it, if he does, bring your dad. You should do a show with him.
Yeah, he'd probably love it. He has a lot to say.
I bet he does. Because I can tell, not just that you're informed, you had that passion and that focus of the experience. You can see that. You can't fake that.
We love this country, Alex, and one thing that I will not buy into is the fact that based on the color of my skin, you know, being an Hispanic, that I need to vote a certain way, you know, because there's so many like us, you know, and so many people from my background and in our culture have bought into that bait.
Well, it's not saying there isn't real stuff by all sides out there, but the globalist corporates with their sociology and anthropology are exploiting people, period, cold-bloodedly. It's a fraud. Doesn't mean there's not real stuff going on, but what they're doing is a fraud. Carlos Zapata, at Carlos underscore Zapata underscore one, a real leader. Instagram, carlos.zapata.90. Hey, come back on this week. Let's not wait.
I will.
On with Owen Schroyer. Daria's going to set you up right now.
Get on my Instagram. Get on Twitter. I have a lot to say on there, guys. Follow me. Not because I want the popularity.
No, but you need to win the war. I get it, brother. Here's the deal. Yep. Here's the deal. You're now conscripted. You're now drafted into the InfoWars army. So come back on this tomorrow. Come on the other shows. Tell people where you want them to go again. Where were you saying, Instagram?
Go to Instagram, carlos.zapata.90. Go to my Twitter. It's carlos_zapata_1. And follow me on there. You know, we have a lot to say. We can have some good conversation on there. And I try to answer as many messages as possible. So if you have questions that you want to
answer. Absolutely, Carlos. You're awesome. We love you. We'll talk soon. We'll be back with hour number 4. Stay with us.